Hey everybody, it's Josh. Welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us. Starting in late July 2020, we are offering both a 9 a.m. outdoor worship service and a 9 a.m. online worship service. You can go to our website to find out more about our two services. You can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, by now, after 3 weeks of studying the book of Ruth, I'll bet many of you are well-versed in the details. By now, you know the highlights of this incredible story of redemption and hope when all seemed lost. And you know all about Ruth herself. It's hard when we talk about this story not to focus all of our attention on her. She is, after all, quite the heroine, someone it's easy to be drawn to. She is brave and determined, quiet but very strong, respectful but driven, clever and smart. She suffers great loss, but then willingly compounds it by leaving her homeland and her people, even her religion, out of loyalty to her mother-in-law. She goes to a strange land where she draws attention as an outsider and then bravely makes a way forward for herself and for Naomi. But as Josh has wisely reminded us throughout the last few weeks, while Ruth makes a great champion in this story, a wonderful agent of redemption, perhaps we should be careful about identifying too much with her. Perhaps we should look elsewhere to find ourselves in this story. And so today we will take a closer look at the other leading lady of this book, Naomi. Naomi, who left her home of Bethlehem with her husband and two sons and went to Moab to find relief from famine, who lost her husband, Elimelech, in that new and foreign land, whose sons got married to Moabite women but then died, leaving her all alone with these two foreign women in a country far from home. In the time and place where the story takes place, getting married and having sons to carry on the family name and to care for you in your old age were the primary ways that women found security and stability. And in the first five verses of this story, Naomi has just lost both of those. She feels, as we can imagine, as we surely would too, hopeless. In the passage that I just read, that feeling is paramount. Naomi talks as though her life had ended with the loss of her husband and her sons. She admits to having no hope left for herself. No thoughts of remarrying or having more sons. She says to Ruth and Orpah, her daughters-in-law, "It is far more bitter for me than for you. The hand of the Lord has turned against me." She believes she has nothing left. And when she returns to her hometown, she says as much again, telling the women of Bethlehem, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara. The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." Naomi is sunk in despair, believing that she has no future, no hope, no more possibilities for a full and abundant life. And because of that belief, she tries to push away Ruth and Orpah, telling them to go away, to leave her, return home. She can't help them anymore. She tries to withdraw and to isolate herself in her sorrow. But Ruth insists on going with Naomi back to Bethlehem. She clings to her and promises to leave friends and home and even her gods to go with Naomi. Did you catch Naomi's reaction? She stops talking to her. She gives up fighting. Maybe because she has nothing left to fight with. Either way, she lets Ruth come along, but as we see in her words to her friends in Bethlehem, Naomi is under no illusion that Ruth will make any difference. "I went away full," she says to them, "but the Lord has brought me back empty." Empty. Even with Ruth standing right there next to her, Ruth, who has given up everything to come along, Naomi still insists that she is all alone and hopeless. Naomi has suffered a huge series of losses in her life. And at least at the beginning of the story, she's far from home in a foreign land. She's lost not just her present happiness, but her future security as well. And this hopelessness, this sorrow, this fear of the future is where we might just find something in common with Naomi. We have all lost something too in these last 4 months of dealing with a pandemic. At first, it was the loss of routine and familiarity, the freedom to run out to the grocery for a dozen eggs or a loaf of bread without worrying about the germs you come into contact with. Or maybe it was the loss of purpose in getting up and getting dressed and going off to work or to school. We lost the ability to gather socially, to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, weddings, graduations, family vacations. But now we are compounding those losses with feeling discouraged at the way the virus continues to sweep across our country, feeling weary at the months of restrictions on our normal routines, feeling worried about what the future may hold or may not. And along with that, we are grappling, some of us for the first time, with the deep racial divisions in our country, with the reality of systemic racism, and the questions of how to move forward. Like Naomi, we may start to lose hope, to feel that God has turned against us, or abandon us entirely. We might start to draw inwards, to focus on ourselves and on our suffering, to say to those nearest to us, or maybe even just to think to ourselves, it is far more bitter for me than for you. But Naomi's part in the book of Ruth reminds us that our suffering, our loss, and our hopelessness are not the final word in the story. In fact, as the last verse of chapter 1 tells us, though Ruth and Naomi arrive in Bethlehem empty-handed, they come at the beginning of the barley harvest, the time of gathering in and of abundance. And this is where Ruth, whom Naomi has somewhat reluctantly let come along, really starts to take action. She says to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I may find favor. Let me go and gather up what is left behind by the men who are bringing the harvest in, the fallen ears and the forgotten ones. Let me gather up a remnant for us from among the leftovers." Naomi agrees, and then she waits. As Ruth goes out and works in the fields all day long, she doesn't know what will happen, what news or how much food Ruth will be able to bring back with her. You imagine it was a long day, hours stretching out slowly as she awaited Ruth's return. And when she comes, what news she brings and what a harvest. Ruth comes bearing an ephah of grain, or about 5 gallons of barley, enough for her to eat and be satisfied and have plenty left over for Naomi. And what is more, the field she worked in that day belongs to Boaz, who we discover is a close relative of Naomi's. Now, by now, you know how the rest of the story goes. How Ruth goes to meet Boaz at the threshing floor and makes her intentions toward him known. How he arranges to marry her, and in doing so redeems the land that once belonged to Elimelech, Naomi's husband. How they marry, and how Ruth bears a son, Obed, who becomes one of the ancestors of the famous King David, the line of kings from whom Jesus would one day come. It's a beautiful story, as you well know, of hope and redemption, and of love after loss. But here is what I want us to think about today. Where would Naomi be if not for Ruth? How much did she need that outsider, that Moabite woman, to bring about her redemption, to open her up to a future filled once again with hope? Now, we talked earlier about how our pain and our suffering can make us draw inward, to close ourselves off, to withdraw, to react in fear, and to isolate. And that fear can drive us toward the temptation always inside of us to make some people insiders and some people outsiders, and to try to distance ourselves from the other. Now, Naomi starts to do that, but there's something in her, and we can't ever know what exactly, it makes her accept Ruth's offer of help. A simple offer to go and glean in the fields, and maybe all it ever results in is grain for them to eat. But she says yes. And one after another, the events that follow bring about her redemption. There is no doubt that we, like Naomi, are hurting right now. And unfortunately, some of the ways that we're dealing with that is to turn inward, to close ourselves off, and to draw lines between each other. You can see it in the news these days, the way that COVID-19 has become the Wuhan virus, and the way that Asian Americans are suffering from increasing numbers of hate crimes and rising levels of xenophobia, and the rhetoric that tells us that the solution to our economic problems is to keep immigrants out, instead of remembering that we are, most of us, all immigrants to this country. And the division between Black and white America and the racist systems that elevate those of one skin color and oppress those of another. It's even in the temptation to let social distancing become mental and emotional distancing. In these growing divides between political parties and economic classes and ethnic groups. In a moment where our country is racked by division, the story of Ruth reminds us that we, God's people, need each other. We need the other, the foreigner, the immigrant, the widow, the stranger. Reminds us that deliverance doesn't come from within our little circles or in the ways that we expect, but when we open ourselves up and allow God to work in surprising ways, using unexpected people, help us, that we have to overcome our fear about what is next and have faith enough to say yes to each other, yes to giving and receiving help, yes to letting God work in our lives. Now, I will be the first to admit that saying we should do this is easy and actually doing it is hard. Can only imagine what it was like for Naomi to accept help from Ruth. Naomi, back in her hometown, among her people, to let Ruth the Moabite help her. It took humility, and it took grace. It took a special kind of courage to admit that she couldn't fix this predicament on her own, and it took patience to wait for someone else to do something when she couldn't. It will require the same of us. It will mean rethinking some long-held assumptions about our world and the way things work within it. But I suspect that even in this time of division and discord, that there are ways that God is calling you to be like Naomi and to connect with people who are different from you, to recognize that you need them and they need you, and we all need each other to find our way forward. I hope that you don't leave the story of Ruth here. As you go on next week to study other new and different passages of Scripture, I hope you keep thinking about it, and especially thinking about Naomi, who thought all hope was lost, but who was saved by her daughter-in-law, the Moabite widower of all people. Pray about it today and in the days to come. Be open to the ways in which God is trying to move you deeper into community with others, deeper into the kingdom of God. My prayer is that we might all find ourselves surprised once again by the grace of God, using unexpected people in unexpected ways to bring about life and hope, healing and redemption. Amen. And now, friends, as you go out into this week, receive this blessing and this charge, remember the story of Naomi. Remember that God uses the most unexpected people in unexpected ways to bring about life and hope and healing. And be open to being surprised. And go in peace.
Well, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms. And again, we hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.